dans la banlieue de New York. Elle a été Miss New York à une époque. Elle va chanter pour vous If My Friends Could See Me Now. Si mes amis pouvaient me voir, et c'est vrai que ses amis la regarderont. Ce soir, elle va triompher pour vous à Paris. Elle est vraiment superbe, la voici. Elle s'appelle Linda Clifford. Here we go.
Lights are on and stable, Captain. Whoa, let's see some fucking action!
You bitch. I have never wanted to grab your pussy more.
It was fun to get drunk and have some guys wiener in your face.
Thank you for eating my end.
When it rains, go outside nude and let it rain on my flower.
I don't even know who the fuck you are anymore.
Live from gorgeous downtown Orlando, welcome to Full of Grace, a show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous. Tonight, Divine Grace's roundtable consecrated crew is Carol Lee.
You know what? I bet Madonna lets her eat her pussy, but Madonna doesn't do it that.
Christine Robinson.
Quaaludes were involved. Right. Yes.
Jay Skinner.
It's the basket of deplorables. They're going down with. They're going down.
And Michael O'Quinn.
Yeah, but who doesn't like a big fat one?
And now, from the bowels of Orlando, Florida, your mistress of ceremonies, the one, the only, the Divine Grace.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the new and improved Full of Grace, a show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous. I have ascended or descended from the clouds to say hello. I have not ascended. That's Jesus.
That's Jesus.
He can fly. Yeah. I have descended to the pits of Orlando. Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard. It is January 8th, 2007, fucking team. This is our first legitimate show of the fiscal year.
Yay!
So let's give it a round of applause for Taylor Bullock, who assembled the actual music behind our new fresh opening.
Yes!
Taylor! I love a fresh opening. Our producer, for jazzing it up with some of our hilarity, which is fantastic. So, all right, well, so here's what's going on tonight. Tonight's a very special show, ladies and gentlemen. On the request of Tom and Dan, it was brought to my attention that perhaps we should do a show in which the audience gets to know each of us individually so that when they start tuning in, they know what we're all about. Now, the idea behind this is, I mean, our normal listeners already know, but this is for our new listeners who apparently they go straight to the first episode just to see what it's about. When people subscribe, we are also shortening the show, sort of. Like, we're cutting it into two because who the fuck wants to stand on a treadmill for 4 hours listening to faggots talk about Bette Midler and Carol Channing? So, tonight.
That might get me on a treadmill.
It's like dangling a carrot.
Hello, a carrot. That's it.
So, I thought tonight we would start. With I'm going to interview each of you. At the end of that interview, the table will open to my consecrated crew, which is Michael B. O'Quinn.
Yay!
DJ Jay Skinner. Woo! Actress and luminary Christine Robinson.
Yay!
And perennial superstar, the lovely Miss Kelly.
Yay!
That's great. We have one Foggett in the house tonight.
Yes, we do.
For those of you listening who might have joined,
one and a half.
Might not have joined us before, a Foggett. Fogs are Full of Grace listeners that happen to be in the house. You're a Foggett if you're in the house with us. So won't you join us, please? All right, let me pull up my questions.
Foggle.
Let's see. All right, I'm going to start with you, Michael.
That's not how you said you were going to start. Okay.
No. Pop quiz, hot shot.
I have an idea of how I'm going to do this now in order to keep the hilarity spread thin.
Right.
So that it doesn't just add a roadblock with you.
Right. Okay. Is this going to be like, what is it, newlywed game? Like.
No, because there are no wrong answers. That's true. Please don't answer something that might have the police called to the house.
Right. Okay.
So if you've got children locked up in the basement or a size 14 woman putting lotion on her skin.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't want to hear about it. All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Right, let's get to know Michael O.
Oh.
Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to be Miss Full of Grace. No, just kidding. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Just the basics.
The basics?
Yeah, like who are you? What are you all about?
you know, we don't know where I'm from. I'm from actually Haines City, Florida,
which is
the butthole of Florida. It's like, it is considered the heart of Florida.
Wait, it's actually near Taintsville. There's an actual Taintsville, Florida. Yeah, near Taintsville?
I don't think it's near Taintsville, but we do have a Wanalickacoochee or Withlacoochee County. We've got a lot of those. But anyways.
You're from Haines City.
Yeah, I grew up.
It's not really a city, though, is it?
Mm-mm, it's a town.
Yeah, I've seen it. There's nothing over three stories.
Hey, it gets hopping on Saturdays down at the bowling rink. They don't even have a bowling rink.
Welcome to Haines City.
They don't even have that. That's true.
Just skate down to the pins and skate back? Yes.
No, I think when
There's
I was...
also a dodgeball.
Although that's the dodgeball emporium. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I think the hangout for teenagers before I was a teenager was the drive-in theater.
Yeah.
That was it. And around the same time I was a teenager when I was getting beat up by all the rednecks, the hangout was the Amoco Station there on Henson.
Sassy. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the hangout. And yeah, we got beat up. They used to put chickens in our cars and knock our windows out. Oh. And that was because we were Satanists. Yes, live chickens.
Do you know why? Florida.
Florida, yeah. It was a small redneck town, so we were little gothic kids, you know. And
would you say it was a little bitty pissant country place?
Yes, nothing much to see.
Right, no drinking allowed.
No.
That explains your alcohol.
Exactly. So yeah, I came from there, redneck, but I grew up like a little gothic kid, and I was into Prince first, and then
we have to post pictures of this because
I've got
the transformation over the last 60 years has been remarkable.
Yeah, I've changed my look. But anyways, left there and moved slowly up to Orlando, and moved to England for a little bit.
Tell us about England. Why were you in England?
Well, I was, 21, 22.
So back in the 1870s.
Some friends of mine that I worked with were moving back to England, and they asked me, did I want to go? And I was like, why not?
How was Victorian England?
No electricity.
It was cold. It was fun. So I did that for a little while.
But you were there just as a lark? Just
literally working. Yeah, I quit my job. I was working at Universal Studios. Quit my job. My boyfriend and I broke up and sold my car and I left. And it was great. I had a good time.
How long did it take you to get your passport? Because if you were from a little podunk place, you didn't have a passport.
That's a good question because, no, you know what? I had a passport already. When I was 18, I went to Germany. So I had a passport.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Why did you go to
Germany? My brother and sister-in-law were stationed there.
That's right.
Yeah, so I went there. But anyway, so I moved to England, moved back.
Wait, Sally was in the army?
No, Kelly was. What was that? Oh, a chicken.
Picture of a chicken.
Carolee just drew a picture of a chicken.
Hello, audience. I'm Carolee, and I love to steal focus.
Oh, goodness. So,
oh, my God. So, all right. So this is, we have to tweet this like a first show. So let me do go ahead and introduce the rest of the table so they know who's speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello.
Jay Skinner, DJ hello. Jay Skinner. That is Jay Skinner. Carol Lee, say hello to the lovely people.
Hello. I'm sorry. I've got a frog in my throat, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. Now I'm self-conscious about hello. Hello. God, I hate the sound of my voice.
Hello.
Christine.
Hello.
No, that's what's going on. So back to you and your tragic life.
Oh, wow. No, I thought you were going to move around and ask more questions. Yeah. So I don't know.
No. I'm staying on you for a bit.
Oh, okay.
Because I would like to, I'm really taking
How much
out.
Do you want to know? How much do you?
We're going to get into it. We're going to get into the nitty gritty. So I have some questions that are really basic, standard interview questions, maybe even for a job. That standard. I have some questions.
Sure, we're not sure if we're going to keep you yet.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We have guests coming in next who I feel are far superior in their production.
Well, so anyways, I've been in entertainment as far as usually costuming or makeup or technical stuff. I've done some documentaries.
But let's back.
Sounds
gay.
I know. Very gay.
Let's back that up just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because the way I know you, I know that you have been a creative type forever.
Right. Filmmaking was my dream. That was my dream as a little kid. When I was still around 9 or 10, I had an 18 millimeter camera. And I understood there was a such thing as stop frame animation, but I didn't understand how you did it. So I had my first movie I ever made was actually with my Star Wars figures, and I was doing stop frame animation, but not knowing that it had to stay on a tripod. Right. So I would just take a picture with the camera, and then with the camera go over in there, move them, and come back. So the whole thing will make you throw up. But that was my first movie.
Yeah, I did that.
Then I did some other little movies on 16 millimeter. But the first film I made, I was actually in the 16.
How many millimeter cameras do you have? There's 8 millimeter.
8 and 16, 32.
Right.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
I'm sensing a pattern here.
So, yeah. So anyways,
So you've always been a creative.
Yeah, child, always really into filmmaking.
Which is French for faggot.
Yes. Really. Well, and growing up where I did, you know, it didn't help, we'll say.
Oh, wait, is this supposed to be the family-friendly show? I just used the F word.
That's okay. We're going to bleep. That's another thing, too, audience.
Oh, thank God.
We're keeping our first show a little cleaner for a broader audience.
Thank cunt.
Yes, and second show will be like normal, so.
Great.
Just so you know.
All right.
So anyways, yes, filmmaking, stuff like that was my thing.
Describe your parents.
Well, one is dead. And
yay!
One's alive.
Hilarious.
My mom's still alive. My mother is 70. She'll be, this month, she'll be 75, I think.
When's her birthday?
45, I think. 1945.
No, I mean, what
oh, January what 15th.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so she's coming up soon. But anyways, she lives in a nudist resort and here in Kissimmee. And my dad, he was an asshole and he's dead.
If you would like to know more about Michael's mother, look for the Mother's Day episode.
Oh, yeah. We have a Mother's Day episode.
That was Kathy. We didn't.
No, it was Kathy and my mom.
That is right. That is right.
Yeah, they were both here. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we interviewed her. She's awesome. But anyways, that was my parents.
Let's see. What is your favorite childhood memory?
Oh, well, more recently, it's been remembering going to see Star Wars the first time in 1977 when it was I was 7 years old.
I know.
And
please tell that story.
Yes,
again.
I didn't know anything about Star Wars at seven. And my mom was like, we're going to see a matinee today. And it's this movie about these two funny robots. And I was like, no, because that night that we were going, I don't remember what afternoon night it was. No, it couldn't have been a matinee. I'm sorry. Had to be night. But anyways, that night, I regularly watched at 7 years old, Shields and Yarnell. And I cried because I...
Big hand for Shields and Yarnell.
No, I know. A lot of our audience probably does not even know who that is. They were a horrible mime.
I imagine that anybody who watched Shields and Yarnell doesn't know how to use a computer. So,
and I think that you should put up a Shields and Yarnell, little clip.
No, we need to.
Oh yeah, I'll post. I will post. Right. I will post that on the thing. If no one knows who they are, they were an
Shields
awful.
Yeah,
couple of mimes.
I assume this was like a local Haines City.
Oh no,
you don't know who Shields and Yarnell
are? I would have thought you had heard of them.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
They're two mimes, and they had a TV show. It was awful.
The fuck would I watch that?
Because they had every star that you've ever loved.
It was a variety show.
Yeah.
Oh.
In the 70s.
A variety show in the
70s. I'm bored.
Yeah.
Shields and Yarnell. They were fucking awesome. Anyways, that's my first happy memory, probably.
Well, that's great. What was your least favorite vacation?
Oh, God. Least favorite vacation?
Let me tell you why I'm asking that. It's because people tend to, when they remember a vacation specifically, that you work so hard to make that week such, or that time so good that's all you remember.
Mm-hmm.
What was the one that
I just remembered? This was in the 90s. Some friends, me and a couple friends, were going to go to, it was New Year's Eve. We were going to go to Key West for New Year's Eve. And so we left work, drove to Key West. I think the car broke down. We ended up...
Wait, where did the car break down? That's important.
Oh, somewhere like in the
Everglades?
Not that far. I think it was further up. Then we got going again. And then
it is important for our non-Florida listeners to know, driving about to the Keys from Orlando is like 10 fucking hours.
It is.
Florida is the length of fucking Germany.
A lot of people don't know that. You're right. The length, the time it takes you to get from the bottom of Florida to Key West is the same time amount of time it takes to get from Orlando to Miami.
Yeah.
It's like for another 4 hours just going through the fucking Keys.
Just the Keys. And which, there's nothing to see but a bridge.
Yeah. You're
and
basically,
the African Queen. The yeah. boat that Humphrey Bogart.
It's Yeah. It's not an exciting ride. But anyways, got down there. We ended up booking ourselves at the wrong hotel, which was like 45 keys up. And I don't know what I can't remember everything that happened, but it just the whole fucking thing. Oh, the whole... Oops. The whole thing, see? I told you.
No, it's okay. Just we'll
I'm going to have a hard time.
No, no, no. We'll cut that out.
Not saying fuck.
No, we'll cut that out, cunt. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, oh, my God. You know what? For our listening audience, every time I say fuck, you can do a shot.
So why was it bad? The car broke down.
The car broke down. We booked ourselves at the wrong hotel. There was something else. I don't fucking remember. But I just remember I ended up staying in the truck. We were in somebody's truck. Oh. I don't know why. And everyone else was all split up, and I yeah, just slept in the back seat. And then we had to drive all the way back to Orlando, so that was another 8 hours after midnight. So that was the worst I can think
that's
of.
That's now my least favorite vacation.
Sorry. So, all right. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, wow.
So many.
Pet peeves. You mean that what really drives, pissed me off?
What drives you up the fucking wall when somebody does it or something happens? What
lying really
what
does
grinds
that
your well no no lying. That's good. Because I will say, like, of course, none of our listeners go, no, I really enjoy a well crafted lie.
No, but that really does piss me off.
We all hate lying, but I've never seen somebody more sensitive to it than you, and I've always tried to figure that out with you. Mm. I've always been like, well, like when I'm lied to and I catch somebody, it pisses me off because I always feel like they feel like I'm stupid and I wouldn't know any better. That pisses me off.
Right. No, that does piss me off.
But I can usually go, oh, well, this person's an asshole. You get violent.
I know. I do. I don't know why. I don't know why it makes me sad. I guess because I do my hardest to never lie to someone. Mm-hmm. So I just expect that that's what everyone else is going to do. And then when it's something... You know, especially when we get into politics, that just drives me fucking nuts when it's just one after another. But that does, it does drive me.
Tell me more about your mother. What's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I have way more than one.
No, you're the movie buff.
So I know, but there's so many.
What movies would...
Color Purple.
The big three that you think have defined you.
Okay, The Color Purple.
Which
definitely.
He only watched because he thought it was about Prince.
That's about the right time, yeah. The Color Purple is definitely one of my favorites. Star Wars is definitely one of my favorites. As far as things that have really affected my life...
Star Wars, the original?
The original Star Wars, yeah. The original
Wait, let's go back to Color Purple a second. What was your draw with Color Purple?
Because I'm a big black woman, you know.
At heart.
At heart, so.
It wasn't, no. Because when you said Prince, I'm thinking, like, was it Suge Avery Walls?
No, no, no. No, I think for The Color Purple, I don't know a gay person that doesn't connect to that movie. And it's not a gay thing. Oh, now Carol Lee. Well, hold on, Carol Lee. The one thing about it that I've come to find out, especially when I lived in England, even seeing... kids in England reciting the lines the way we did back in 1991, or whenever it was, I was over there. I thought, wow, this is a big deal. And I get what it is. I think that gay people can connect to that character, to Seeley, so many ways. I mean,
it's an underdog
story. Yeah. So I think that's because there's not really any gay tones other than the one scene that's not even gay. That is definitely in the book.
Oh, the book is gay.
The book is, yeah.
Button.
Was that the magic button?
Well, now all I can hear is British people say, "You told Oppo to beat me."
Come on.
Seriously, that did happen. That's an honest to God truth. When I was there, I heard these two gay guys doing that, and I'm going, oh my God, they're doing the same thing we do.
Hop on my man now. You ain't nothing but a big old heifer.
Ha, ha, ha.
Let me tell you, wait, let me interject
yes.
very quickly about
you
that.
You sure is ugly.
Yeah. I wanted, when I finally got legally married 2 years ago, actually 2 years ago, and today, 2 years ago today.
Bravo! Stop it! Happy anniversary.
Yeah, even though we had been pretty much legally married about 20 years ago, but still, I wanted to go to my dad and say, I's married now! I's married now! So.
One of my favorite scenes.
Wow, we'll get to that. That's that conversation that I really want to get to. No. We have plenty of time.
Okay.
This whole episode.
What is your... Do you have a favorite book?
Yes. Well, I have a couple of those, too. Okay. I mean, there's... Oh, I didn't finish my movies. Because David Lynch... anything by David Lynch.
Anything. So they're all rock
solid. To me, I can... For me...
Erase your head.
I know. Okay, out of David Lynch, I guess my favorite film would be Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me, or Blue Velvet.
Oh, for the love.
Yeah, those would be my two favorites.
Okay. What, for you, what would be the perfect day?
Day?
From the time you get up until the time you go to sleep.
Now?
What is your perfect day?
Oh.
And it doesn't have to be a day that you've had. Mm. If you could script your perfect day, what would that be?
If I could sleep most of it, that would be great.
That's depressing as fuck. I'm sorry. That's depressing as cunt.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. That'd be my perfect day right now. I have nothing to do.
No, there's no food or sex involved. There's no...
Okay, you want that kind of day?
Your perfect day?
You're well-rested.
Well-rested.
You're well-rested, perfect day.
You're the architect of the perfect day for you.
Okay.
You could be anywhere doing anything for the full day. What do you do?
Okay, going to a diner and having breakfast. Uh-huh. That's what I love to do, and I do it once a week. Because I just love to go to a small little diner right here. Actually, the one here.
Love it.
Right. What College is it? Park. Edgewater. College Park. Yeah. Oh, fucking awesome. Anyways, doing that in the morning. That's fucking my favorite.
Really, for those of you not familiar, it is a legitimate greasy spoon.
Yeah, it's a tiny little diner.
All the spoons have grease on them.
Is it on Edgewater?
It's right on Edgewater. And a giant works there.
Edgewater and Princeton. And we've been with Foggett Cathy as well. It's the most basic... Sort of greasy spoon. So I don't even know they do. I don't think they do dinner.
They close it too. Breakfast and lunch. They close it too.
Basic in the 2016 way.
They're basic. No. Dinner. I mean basic in the sense no frills.
So there's very a bunch of white women there on their phones.
There's no theme. There's the wallpaper. The whole thing looks very ancient, and there is in fact a giant. Who waits tables?
She
might be Slovakian.
She's very pretty. She's very attractive. But she happens to be 8 feet tall.
I think that's a reach. She's
well, she's not ugly. She's not unattractive. No. I mean,
for a monster.
It's a little scary, but she's not.
All right, so you go to a diner.
Yeah.
You eat your weight in biscuits and gravy.
Yes. Then, I don't know. Then I would probably go to a movie.
You're not going to scratch off a winning lottery ticket. You're creating the best day ever.
Later in the day. Okay, in the day I would do that.
So you guys see a movie. What do you see? What genre do you go?
Oh, God.
What's the perfect
Well, you know, that's day? Funny you said that because I probably wouldn't go to the movies because I hate going to the theater now. Although I like the one that we started going to here. What is that? Where is that?
Up in Winter Park?
Yeah, that's a
With
great
the recliners?
One. So yeah, the one that you go in and you literally lay back. Yeah, it looks like you're getting fucking chemo.
Literally, like, the person next to you is still, like, 3 feet away. I mean, imagine you've got two Barca loungers parked next to each other.
Yeah, they're awesome.
But if you kind of roll over, like every time we go to one of these and everyone puts their seat all the way back, so you're now laying down with a room full of people, I've always wanted to just get cozy and roll over to the person next to me and say, I love you, good night.
Is it the one like Cinemark Festival Bay? Because they're the first ones that have the Barco Lounger things. Is it the same thing?
It's literally like watching a movie in bed with 300 people.
And it's in Winter Park, so that's even more fashionable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
But it looks like they're all going that way, like Artigan Mall.
Yeah, they are. Oh my God, I went to Disney Springs to see a movie. What was it? I think it was Rogue One. And...
that's a good place to see it.
No, it was horrible. The seats were not like that. It's
no.
The old seats
still. Is this at, what is the...
Disney Springs.
But is that
the dinner and dine in one?
Disney Springs.
Though, I didn't go into that.
Is that the Disney version of
Downtown Disney?
Downtown
or so City Walk is like
City
that.
Walk. Right. Yeah. Oh no. I saw Elizabeth Van Meter's.
Had
her, I saw it there. They didn't even have people working. It was all completely automated. You went through and got a bag of popcorn.
Oh no, that one.
What? Where was this?
At Disney Springs.
Yes. Oh wait a minute. It's yes, wonderful. They did have what? that
it's
popcorn
wonderful.
Thing.
Wonderful.
There's no people there. You're right. That was I forgot about.
Takes one more thing. Away
I was really life. High yeah. when I went, and I swear I forgot that whole experience.
I know. I was high, and it was a nightmare.
I know. I don't know what to do.
I'm an old person.
I get my own popcorn.
It was. You walk into this weird area.
Where's the ticket taker?
It was rounded. Was yours rounded or something? And they had little compartments, and you just went by and grabbed your stuff.
It's like an automat.
And then you go to a wall and you pay the wall or something. Yeah. But it
there was one. I saw one person at the.
Well, they have to have that one, like, you know, that Wendy
keep an eye on all the people that would run.
Quality control for your cold, damp popcorn.
That's right.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway. Mm. All right, so you guys.
Then go home and have sex.
With who?
Oh, I don't know. A random stranger.
All right. They all must be, but celebrity.
A celebrity that I would have sex with? Zach Galifianakis.
Really? You're hot for...
yes! Oh. Zach Galifianakis is hot to me.
You know, I love that you keep your standards low. It makes everything more attainable.
Wait, does no one find him attractive?
I think he was on MTV years ago.
Zach Galifianakis.
The bearded guy from Hangover.
I don't think it's just his looks. He's someone I could be around all the time.
So you're hot for Taylor.
Hot for Taylor.
Taylor Bullock reminds me so much of Zach Galifianakis.
Really? Well, I can see that.
No.
But he's a lot thinner, yeah.
I don't mean physically. I mean there's something very similar in their mannerisms, the way that he... Taylor's funny as shit.
Yeah, I see that.
Completely dry.
Yeah.
Added that, he's cute and has a beard.
Well, yeah. I mean, Taylor is hot, too. I mean, yeah. But we're more like... We're more like relatives now.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the really serious questions.
Okay.
On average, how many times a week do you hurt yourself trying to dance in the shower?
I thought you were going to bring up the masturbating thing today.
Oh, please tell the story. Please tell the story.
Well, okay. So earlier today, I'm working on stuff for the new show. So I was working on some of the sound bites and stuff. And I called you or texted you or something and said, give me a call. And so he didn't call me back. And so I just kept moving along and had my stuff, was starting to get ready and felt like, I got everything done ahead. I've got a little bit of extra time. I'm going to jerk off. So I start jerking off and I got my porn on the computer.
And then the manager's like, can you please get out of Target?
Exactly.
No, go ahead.
And I'm going at it. And just as I'm getting on, just as I've reached that moment, you called.
Bloop, bloop.
My screen on my computer slides to the side so that it can answer the phone. So you really right at the fucking first shot, it's bam, ding, and everything disappeared. And I'm like, oh.
Yay, I ruined another
ruined
one shot.
It ruined it.
Usually all I have to do to do that is actually just be present.
Just look around the corner.
That's the first time I've ever done that virtually. Usually right. I just look at the person I'm fucking. They're like, don't look at me. I'm ashamed.
Oh, yeah. So that was fun.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how intolerable do you find baby pictures on Facebook?
Is 10 the most?
Yeah.
I find it about a 6.
Great. Who would you allow to punch you directly in the face? You're a bit jerkinky. I know that you've worked this into a fantasy.
No. I don't like getting hit. I'm trying to think who... No, I've told you. I don't like... I've had an experience where somebody punched me in the balls. Well, I told you a sexual experience I had one time where a guy punched me in the nuts. That's a long story, but we'll just say somebody did that to me without asking me if that was okay. And I was in the middle of a bar and punched me so hard in the balls. I've never been... never been punched in the balls, ever. I don't know anyone that has. This guy fucking backhanded me with his fist right in my nuts. And I just hit the ground.
But why? Why did he do that?
Because... Oh, well, that's the long part of the story.
Just the short, why?
Well, because he was into this whole
master-servant
thing.
And you were
had,
just like,
I had to pee, And now, just so you know, I'm not into this shit anymore. But I was at a moment. I was
so
at a time.
So you were into shit back then?
Not shit. I was not into shit.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I was not into that. The whole leather scene.
Feces. Feces.
Sorry.
Catch
the whole
me
leather
on the day
scene.
When the story's about me and I'm fully listening.
So, anyways, I was into that for a little while. And so I was being bad. And I got punched in the nuts. Because I had to pee and he wouldn't let me go pee. And I was like, I really had to pee.
Now, here's the highlight of that story, ladies and gentlemen. He then had to go grab his nuts and go sing karaoke.
Yes.
I'm Michael P. or Michael O.
Yes, they called my name just as I hit the ground. The guy punched me in the nuts, bam, hit the ground. And, Mom, Michael, come on up.
You were singing Frankie Valli.
This was back in the day when I was very nervous about singing. Like, I was very scared to get up. So, and I literally just, I was in so much pain, I just walked up, I just sang the song, and just put the mic
in. Yeah, in falsetto.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Oh,
it was awful.
Loving
it was terrible.
You. Oh, Michael Ripperton.
Yeah. Hi, Vincent. Vincent Bernard.
Yay, hi, Vincent Bernard.
Hi, Vincent Bernard.
I will be spending
by the way,
time with him.
Hey, Christopher. Jenna,
hey
Lee,
hey
Patrick, Jenna, where are we at? Rebecca, hey Rebecca,
hey,
Christopher, Vincent, somebody Vasquez,
Jerry,
I can't say it.
Is
I don't
that,
know how to pronounce it.
Jerry?
I'll pronounce
is that
it wrong.
Rose?
Maybe
Jerry.
Vasquez? Oh, maybe it is. We'll see. I don't.
So that gringo. Vasquez.
So, anyways. Hold on, reconnecting.
Well, that's terribly fascinating.
But hello, everybody. Thank you for
Hi,
listening.
Guys. Thanks for joining.
Just so you know, if you just came in, which a few of you did, this is our Get to Know You show. So we're just, Divine Grace is interviewing us, and we're going to be talking and interviewing her. So go ahead.
All right. One more question. Let me see. Let's see.
One more.
Who was your favorite Spice Girl?
I've never listened to them.
No, let me
I don't
try.
Know
let
which...
me try another question. Name one Spice Girl.
I, oh my God.
Vampire Spice.
Vampire Spice.
Catty Spice.
Catty Spice.
Meow.
Kitty Cat Spice.
Grizzly Bear
he's
Spice.
Trying to do
time.
He's trying
time.
To, that's perfect. All right. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Michael?
Oh, we're going around the table.
Yes.
I guess my question is, like, Zach Galifianakis because, what, Jonah Hill was busy? What the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't find Jonah Hill attractive.
You
know,
Ricky Martin piss on you. It's a fucking open-ended question. Here you are.
No, that's who I think
Jesus
is hot.
Christ.
I think he's hot. I do. I really think he's hot.
I'm going to have to
I'm not saying
him.
He's not, but...
It's really his sense of humor that is hot to me.
Here's an interesting story about Zach Galifianakis. He grew up about an hour away from where I grew up in North Carolina, in Wilkesboro, where most of the leading cast in Sanford and Son is also from.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, it's pretty hillbilly, pretty mountainous, but I think Ann Esther was from there.
The wonderful Grady Jones.
I want to say Grady Jones and then Red Fox, I think.
Wow.
Anyway, there were a lot of people just happened to be from that area. And something I learned after reading so many David Sedaris books, it turns out I had no idea growing up, North Carolina had such a huge Greek population. So there's your Galifianakis. The Sedarises are Greek. That's all a Greek family.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
That's nuts. So anyway, well, that's fascinating. Mm.
Go Divine ahead. Grace.
Gray. Divine Grease. Anybody?
That's the local greasy spoon.
Mm.
Couldn't be less interesting.
That's my spoon.
Anyone? Hey, Rosalie.
Hey, I do, actually. If you could go...
Really? You're going to prolong this?
Back in time. Yes.
We've got...
You could
we
go
got
back
four
in
more.
Time.
Uh-huh.
Where would you go and why?
Ooh.
Great question.
Oh, gosh. Hmm.
Great question.
If I were to go back in time...
I already know the
With answer. My knowledge today?
Yes.
I already know the answer to this, I think.
Well, I would go back to...
Wait. You know the answer?
I think so.
Write it down.
Michael? Yeah, write it down. I'm curious. I want to see what... Because there
like
might be two,
too.
Because I have a few places I would love to go back. I think, yeah, I mean...
Wait, she's writing,
Writing and writing.
That is a picture of a penis.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so one place I would go back to would be around...
That was funny.
Hilarious.
What happened? Were you just laughing? I thought you were laughing at me.
Wrong bite.
No.
Where would you go?
I would probably go back to about 2005.
Well, I thought sure you'd stop the Kennedy assassination.
No.
Jesus Christ. Oh, that's great.
Maybe the birth of Hitler and just strangle that little fucker? Nothing? No? Back to 2000s. Back to the aughts.
All right, let's see what Divine Grace wrote down, and the answer was...
Mid-century. Oh, yeah, I wasn't thinking that, but yes.
Mid-century USA.
There you go.
If I were... Oh, no, that's interesting you said that. And the reason she said that, I'm so fascinated with the 50s, but I would have to go back...
Knowing what you know.
I would have to go back knowing what I'm knowing, but knowing what I know now, but also I and you know how I feel about past lives, and I do feel that we reincarnate. I definitely connect to a black... woman from the 50s, like as in a maid. I connect to that for some reason. There's a strong connect, and that's why I've always had this fascination with big black women. Like the bigger and fatter, the better. It's not a sexual thing, but I fucking love big black women. I love them, and there's like this thing. Even when I was a kid, I had a coach. Her name was Mrs. Myers, and she's big, pigeon-toed, big, fat, fucking this big, and pigeon-toed, and
bread in her
shoes. She was making bread, honey. Oh, them shoes were making bread.
It's like five prawns. Oh my god. Gravy boat.
Woo, Lord, so but she
TV
had
show Amen like she... porn to you.
Oh yes, I love that.
Yeah, it's just I'm literally but that's... just getting an image of you jacking off to Neil Carter and give me a break in my face pops up.
And then Joey Lawrence in blackface.
So wait, anyways.
This show is brought to you by emphysema.
If I were to go back to the '50s, I would have to go back as a white straight man because otherwise it's just going to be horrible.
Nobody would ever go back to the 50s as anything but.
Oh, yeah.
Women are like, no, thank you.
No, that's what
white
I'm saying.
White women are like, no,
knowing,
thank you.
Knowing that I can connect to that black maid in the 50s, I have this connection to that. I would never go back as a black person.
All right, but wait.
I just
did
watched
you not
The Help.
See how great they had it in The Help?
Well, yeah, they
look
had...
Look at how awesome...
Separate, but equal.
Yeah,
that's what she
equal,
said to her.
There was some equal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how well-fed they were when they built the White House? Come on.
Let me ask you something. Having known white people all of your life, do you really want to drink out of the same water?
Right. yeah, I did just watch The Help this weekend.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
I mean, either. And I watched it. I was like, it's really good.
I really want to read the book.
The book is the best.
Our Foggit... Kathy has the book, right? You read it.
I had it. I don't know if I should.
I can't stand you. All right. Well, it's been great getting to know you.
All right. Well, y'all
what
have
about
a
you?
Great
Do you have a question?
Oh, yeah,
Jay?
JJ.
Well, I wanted to know if Michael had any history with animals. Do you like animals?
Oh my god, yes. That's one of my downfalls. It's funny you say
go
that.
On, you
I think
say.
This is something you and I probably have in common. As a kid, I would any animal I could get, I was taking it home. Other than bugs and shit, I hated fucking bugs. But animals, dogs, cats, shit like that, I would fucking take it home. One time I remember there was a little kitten that probably had rabies. I don't know. It was in horrible shape. It could hardly stand up. I just ended up on my front yard, and I took it into my closet and tried to keep it alive for a few days until my mom found it. I won't tell you the rest of that story because it was awful. But then, yes, as far as animals.
Please tell us the rest of that story.
No. Cats,
please don't.
Dogs, I love. I've always had cats and dogs in my life.
Are we talking about your fetishes?
Yes.
The master-slave thing?
One animal I'm not into, birds. Don't like them. Don't like birds.
Had an issue with birds in your
life?
No,
just don't like them.
Probably my favorite.
I don't like... I like them flying in the air. I love seeing birds fly around. I don't hate birds.
Pet bird,
I don't,
you're not
like, I don't like them in a cage.
You know what?
Or flying around in a house.
There's a good question.
Do you like them in a house? Do you like them
with
a mouse?
What is your favorite animal? What animal do you most identify with?
Cats.
cats.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, Jay-Z. Yeah. I definitely. Oh, I understand your weird. Well, yours is a little weirder than mine, only because you're straight. It's just so it's weird. Sexual. But to me, it's a feminine thing, but I love cats though.
Which is a perfect segue to start talking about me.
Yes.
Yes.
I completely agree, ladies and gentlemen. Jay Skinner.
Jay Skinner.
Now, Jay,
now we're gonna have to break during yours.
But I'm going to ask you many of the same. No, I'm sure that his is not going to be very long.
Right, because he sucks.
Boring. Listen, gentlemen, this is what we refer to as the first of two boner breaks, mm-hmm. in which all the comedy is going to be sucked out of the room like a black hole. No, I'm just giving you shit. Many of the same questions until and then we'll get on to the weird questions.
We're gonna do a break first.
Should we?
Yeah, let's do that. So we don't have to break in the middle.
Whatever's best, whatever it is.
I would rather do that.
Oh my God, we spent 45 minutes on Michael?
We did not. We spent about 15.
You said about 20.
About 20 minutes. Yeah. That's how I want.
The first half, maybe a little more. Yeah. We talked a little bit before that.
Great. Well, could you keep it short?
And yeah, I know. I'm trying. On?
Jesus Christ.
I kept saying, move around. Okay,
No, we've still got plenty of time.
Okay, so Jay.
All right, well, this is, we are starting the show over again. The show is now called Genesis for the first half on Sunday night, and I found a song that I think was appropriate. It's by an artist from England named Badly Drawn Boy. The song is called Born Again.
All right.
We'll be right back. it kills Ringo Starr that I have the high score in Rock Band.
Oh my God, we're back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where's that?
It's just...
It's oh, it's a little end of the song. Yeah.
Who was that we were listening to?
That was Badly Drawn Boy.
Right.
It's called Born Again.
So, like Bart Simpson? Because he's crudely...
Right. Badly drawn.
Well, we're getting to know our consecrated round table. Consecrated round...
You don't say.
Consecrated crew. So we're moving on to DJ, resident DJ Jay Skinner.
Yay!
A musical director.
So, Jay.
Yes.
Jay, welcome to Four of Grace. Tell us, you've had many successes over the years, many triumphs and some not so triumphant. Tell me, who are your parents? Describe your parents.
My mom is an awesome, young 65. She's very young mentally and physically. She's very active in the community.
Yeah, 65 ain't what it used to be.
It really isn't. She is a, she's a go-getter. She's taken up tap dancing again after more than 50 years since she had her last lesson.
She's taken up tap, so your mother is Debbie Reynolds.
Yes.
Great.
No, my mom is awesome. She volunteers, go figure, for the South Lake Animal League. Just where I get my compassion and love of animals is definitely through my mother.
That's great.
And then my dad, who's actually my stepdad, but I call him my dad. He is a young 60-year-old man. He's only 14 years older than me. My mom got herself a youngin'.
Wow.
And he is...
What a whore.
Well, he is my third. She's on her third marriage.
Atta girl.
This one was crazy. So my parents met, and she'd already been married. She was 27 at the time. She'd already been married twice, and they met. And after 4 months, they got married. And she was not pregnant. My brother didn't come along for another like 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And she'd already been married twice by 27, and they've been now married for 37 years.
That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And my dad is awesome. He's the salt of the earth. Just the kindest, sweetest guy ever.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Which does not explain me at all. A divorced, 46-year-old, bitter, college-educated, illegal cat rancher.
Now, see, now as people are getting to know you through this episode, I disagree with that. Because I consider you to be one of the kindest people I know. One of the sweetest, nicest people I know.
I thought you were going to disagree with 46. You look 60.
Where did you grow up?
I am a born and raised Orlandoan. I was actually born at Winter Park Memorial Hospital, the same hospital that my mother was born at.
You're the one.
My grandfather went to high school here in Orlando. We've been here a long time.
So he's illiterate.
My grandfather was a literate man. Yes, he's no longer with us. I've lost all of my grandparents. I was actually very fortunate because my mom did remarry. I was literally the only grandson in the family. I had three sets of grandparents because my mother's parents divorced and remarried before I was ever born.
Right.
So when I was growing up, I had my mom's four parents.
Modern family.
Modern family. And then my dad married my mom, and he had both of his parents were alive, and he has two brothers and a sister, and there were no grandchildren between any of them, and even except for me. So I was a spoiled little bastard till I was about 12. And then my brother
That explains
came,
a lot.
That explains so much. And then my brother came along and ruined everything for me.
Do you have a favorite childhood memory?
A favorite childhood memory? Gosh. You know, I had a really great childhood.
I'm happy to hear that.
I can say for certain that I played football in middle school, basically at the end of elementary school and right up to about high school when everybody suddenly got a lot bigger than I was. Mm-hmm. I was a very late bloomer.
Were you a runt?
I was solid now. I am a thick person now.
But like, well, how tall are you?
I'm 6 feet.
6 feet.
Yeah. 6 feet and about 200 pounds. But up until I was 12 or 13, we were all the same size. And then about that 13, 14 growth spurt for everybody, and they all grew a foot, and I was still 5'2".
Yeah, I want you guys to notice just for a moment, I'm going to interrupt you, that we are the same, we're separated by a few years. Not many, by what, 5 years
four.
Or so? Four or five years. Yeah. But we're the same height and weight. And you look like a strapping man, and I look like a potato with a gender identity issue.
Wait, well, y'all are the same weight and same height?
We are.
I got to look at you after the show.
But the, well,
it's tragic.
So I'll need y'all to take your clothes off and stand next to each other.
No, because I literally carry all my weight like dad, like right up front in my tits. And in my fucking thighs. And my,
well, you know, also you, dress... For
like a fact,
like a gay man,
yeah.
And I dress like a heterosexual.
How does
man.
A gay man dress?
Loose clothing,
like B. Arthur and the Golden Girls, very pear shaped clothes.
Yeah,
I'm gonna cover my waistline.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna start doing tunics.
Maybe a mod full length.
No, coat. I have graduated to a hood in just the effort to hide more of my body. Because long sleeves and a floor length gown wasn't enough. The hood's good. You just should see my face and my fingertips. Yeah. Well, that's great.
My greatest childhood memory was playing football at the now Camping World Stadium for the Florida State Football Championship.
Used to be the Citrus Bowl?
The Citrus Bowl, right.
You played football there?
We played our state championship. This was not high school because I was not good enough to play on the high school team, nor was I big enough, but... I was at literally the maximum age you could be for the division, the oldest division they had for what's called Pop Warner football. Which
the one you had to pay to be a part of.
Yes. Oh, yeah, God. You paid your parents paid $85, and they had to play you at least 10 plays
a
game.
Yeah, they were required to.
You had to play at least 10 plays a game.
How? Oh. Well, what was your mascot, the special snowflake?
How old were you?
I was.
You were the guy they called Moose, weren't you?
No.
Oh.
No, we all had to be roughly the. You had to be of a certain age and no bigger than. You could weigh no more than.
Yeah.
And whatever that weight limit was, I was right up on that weight limit, and I was right up on that age limit. So I was like the biggest.
But there were parents who were like, "Don't let him near my child."
Well, we were all roughly the same size, and I was not a very good football player, but I got to touch the ball every play because I played center. So I got to touch the ball every, and the center was like the,
because it was run by Catholic priests.
The center is like the least important. He's the least mobile. He's responsible for the least. He hikes the ball, and his two guards sort of protect him from getting smushed. So I just hiked the ball, and we were on a team of guys that had played together. There was about 8 or 9 of us that had played together since we were 11 years old, so for like 5 years. So everybody that we played, we crushed, and we played the state championship game. I got a letter jacket and a big ass trophy. It was the local I played in the local Pop Warner. I can't think of what we played out of the boys club, mm-hmm. And so. I also, in the 5th grade, got 3rd place in the Orange County chess competition.
Oh, shut up. God, I was hoping for at least the spelling bee. fucking chess?
I don't even know how to play chess.
Between the football and the chess, I think half the table here doesn't know any words that are... I mean, maybe the lesbian knows about football.
No, actually, I don't.
No, see, no, she's like...
How dare you?
I figured they all played sport.
No, they're too busy at Home Depot.
Well, I was also in the French club. Does that count for anything? Does
queer.
Speak French?
I always know.
This
always
is
think
why you were on Pop Warner teams.
I mean this in the nicest way. Mm-hmm. But you are like the gayest straight man that
I
know.
Yeah, totally.
You are the gayest straight man
that I know. If it
wasn't
for the fact that I don't like dick.
I know.
Damn. I would be
gay. We got to get you past that.
So I would be gay.
So here's the deal. To me, you are not the gayest straight man I've met. Okay. Because I know, like, most of the straight guys that I know outside of my family have been actors or artists or that sort of thing. So not exactly the football types. You,
true.
Knowing you, Oh, well, and I think we've had this conversation before. Michael and I have had this conversation before when we used to work together at Stonewall, that everybody fell in love with you. Everybody immediately was just, and literally, like, and the drag queens too were just like,
and let me say something real quick. I don't mean gay as gay, when, just so you know. I don't mean that you act gay. What I mean is, I think about what you're about to say is, I just want to say, you have all of the really good qualities in a male that you don't normally find in straight men.
Correct.
But you find a lot more in gay men. That's what I was really meaning. But
you're a female. What?
You're very connected to your feminine side.
Oh, well, I was raised by my mother.
Yeah, that's probably got a lot to do with it. That's great.
My real father was gone before I remember.
No, wait. Before, for the listeners who have not heard this show before, like, in no way would I ever look or listen or be around you and go, yeah, he's queer.
No. He doesn't, like, look that way at all.
No, I act think that when way. I first met you, we were all hoping.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a shot.
Yeah. You're like fresh meat.
Just the one shot.
Just the one time.
Right in the face.
Right in the hole.
No, I was raised by a single mother.
Who did right.
She did pretty good. She did
damn good.
She did pretty good.
Seriously.
Especially with what she's working with. I'm a little nutty. She did right.
No, we had, like, our foggy Kathy. She's also got a son who, he was military, very straight and whatnot, but he was raised by a single mother who was a feminist and very proactive as far as women went, and that's what you end up with when the right mother raises you.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say my mom isn't very vocal about anything. She's definitely more of a doer than a talker. You know, she would just be. All these years later, I now look back at some of her friends for whom, when I was 7 and 8 years old, work associates and fellow friends. And then I realized, no, oh, she was a lesbian, oh, he was a homosexual, and there's the black guy, and there's the, you know, she
Negro,
had the,
please, on the, sorry, on the, on the African first show, we say Negro.
You don't know that they were from Africa.
We say Negro because we're trying to keep this safe for public consumption. Darky is also it's Florida.
So but we can't say colored anymore, right?
No, that's for pencils and paper.
But yes, my mom raised me right, and she by.
Oh my God!
That's the sound of me farting.
Oh, that's a beautiful sound.
It twinkled.
So I did spend a lot of time with a single mom who, you know, before my dad came along, and I just think it's sort of, and it's so funny because we'll jump ahead a little bit in my life. If you want to ask, you were asking about what my greatest moment was. I stumbled by chance upon a DJing gig, and that's how my career started. I literally was at the right place at the right time, overheard a phone call, found myself in a nightclub a few hours later DJing, and I've never looked back. I was so naive. Part of my well-roundedness also meant that I never judged anybody. I was in high school and I was surrounded by a bunch of gay guys, found out years later, but didn't know that in high school. I was like, oh, they're just really arty. They're just really, you know, and then I find out later, it's like, oh, gay.
But wait, you know, and I've never thought about that. One of the reasons I think you and I get along so well is because we have that in common. You know, I used to be a DJ as well.
What?
Yeah, I worked as a DJ. I literally was a paid DJ. Now, I should probably mention that it was in a roller skating rink.
Not a bowling rink?
No, it was a, no, because you don't, where I'm from, you don't skate in the bowling alley. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, how else I had, I played, and it was vinyl. It was all vinyl. Mm-hmm. And I played records for fives of sixes of people who were skating at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
For about 2 weeks. And that's why I think you and I get along.
The truth of the matter is that I have always been so non-judgmental.
Nope, that's true.
I take people at their face value. Oh, you're an asshole and you're straight. So, or you're a great person and you're gay.
Who thinks you're an asshole?
No, I'm saying when I meet people.
I started to say I've never heard a negative word about you.
I was going to say, I know.
No. I'm just
saying. You're honestly one of the most liked people in this industry. that I've known
in this town. Like
that, and I mean that from everyone that I know that knows you.
Anything but positive, but praise and positive
words. Oh my God!
All I want to do is be liked and live a happy life, and that's the truth.
Okay, so here's
the
next question:
turmoil and
how close are you to that? Are you living a happy life?
I
you got half of that down.
I'm struggling, currently struggling. If we're speaking historically, I think I've improved over the years. I'm pretty naive about a lot of things, and I think I look back on my marriage and I go, yeah, I was naive. I was too young.
How long were you married?
I was married for about 7 years, and we were together a little over 11 years, and I met her when I was 19. So all of my 20s, that time when everybody's figuring out who they are, I was already with somebody. And then you sort of, you know, your whole life is mapped out. You'll get married, you'll buy a house.
By the way, what year did you get married?
94.
All right, so here's the deal. Here's the deal with that. Like, look at that for a second. Because there's a certain generation that was specifically, you went to high school, you graduated, you got married and started a family and got work. That's what happened.
And I'm not that generation. I'm the one behind that.
But you're not the generation, and I don't want to say my generation because it's a little bit ahead of, it's the younger kids than me, that it's marriage is not a priority. That settling down and starting a family, like, people have children now because all of their eggs are about to expire.
Well, can I piggyback on that?
Sure.
Miss Grace, you're I feel like, because you're the same age as my brother, and I feel like you're the first generation from that generation. So therefore, you are the first generation to feel the failure of, I'm 30, I'm not married, and I don't have kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. That has fallen
and that
to
is
our
exactly
generation.
When I got divorced.
We're that first generation. We're called millennials, darling. And
well, I'm a Gen
X. Well, when you're my age, not yours.
I'm a Gen Xer, though, actually.
How dare you? And
I was born in 1970.
No, I agree.
Yeah, you're a Gen X. You're Gen X.
That's adorable.
Wait, you and I are the same exact
age. We're
the
same age.
Oh, wow. Yet. You were saying, Divine, I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, carry on.
No, I'm done now. Oh. Back to my cocktail.
So you're a failure.
Well, I got to, all right, so I graduated college late, literally the day
Wait, where did you go to college?
I went to University of Central Florida. Have you heard of it?
Is it the big one in the middle of Central Florida?
It's pretty big. It's like the second or third largest in the country.
The only time I've ever been there in my life was for the Trump rally. And I got to look around and was like, holy shit, it's a city.
It's a city.
It's huge.
It's bigger than where Michael grew up.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. Think about Haines City.
And when
University
of Central
Florida is there?
It's bigger than Haines City. Wow.
Well, yeah.
When
a
did
year
you
ago.
Last summer?
I haven't been there in summer. 20 yeah. years. When I was back, when the one time I've been to the UCF area, which also stands for You Can't Finish, ladies and gentlemen. But last time I was there was 20 fucking years ago. So it was a one-room schoolhouse, and children were walking to it with their lunch in a bucket.
Slates. Chalk and slates.
They were looking forward to the ciphering that was going to happen.
Do you have any pet peeves?
Pet peeves? I hate when I'm interrupted by Carol Lee. Is that like a pet peeve or just an annoyance? It doesn't happen every day. No, real pet
peeves.
You're
only with her once.
I know.
Thank God.
It's pet peeves. I don't know. I'm so rarely, even when I'm around people, I'm not
Say
really.
Say it. We have the exact same personality. That's why we hate each other.
Oh, you know what I do?
We both think we're right all the time. We both. This isn't about me. You'll get to me, listeners. Fast forward if you must.
You know what I do hate? I hate when people repeat what you've said. It's annoying.
Oh, when people repeat what you said, it's annoying.
When they say it...
Oh, it's annoying. It's
so annoying.
When they repeat what you said.
And sometimes when they say it, like, they're anticipating, like, when they want to finish your...
Oh, my God! No way! Wait, all right, so I'm just going to call this one as a see it. So, Chrysanthemum, who's been on the show, local drag queen. She has a nervous tick when you are talking to her. Have you ever noticed that she will finish your sentence? But I mean as if she's lip syncing it.
I thought that was
go ahead, something, go, else. Something else. It's like,
no, that's so funny.
Give
she
me,
has
give me that. Your address.
No, not on the air.
make up an address.
Okay, 1714 Mockingbird Lane.
Yeah, she does that all the time and it drives me.
I've never noticed that, yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm like, well, I feel like, have I already told you this story?
No.
That is an annoying...
No, I completely
that's
understand.
That's an annoying habit, yeah.
All right, so let me move to the slapdash question.
Oh, by the way, Chris Anthem's listening. Thank you for listening, Chris Anthem.
Hi, Chris Anthem.
Hi, Chris Anthem. We love you.
We've got...
I didn't have anything to do with that conversation.
All right. Right. What is the most money you've ever drunkenly spent at a McDonald's?
I thought you were going to say stripper club.
Well, part of what the Full of Grace audience doesn't know about me is that I don't eat fast food.
Oh.
And it also.
What about loose pussy?
Serve up the Arby's, please.
I'm sorry. Woo! I'm sorry. We're not allowed to say that during corporate time. Right. What about loose cunt?
So a couple things that I can get off the table right at once. I don't drink, so I don't have drunken spending sprees.
You used to drink.
And I don't eat fast food. I literally gave up fast food. It's been over 10 years since I gave up fast food. I don't. The only
how's
time
that working out for you, dear?
Other than Sunday nights, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Other than Sunday nights, it's awesome. So yeah, that clears that up. I can tell you that as the straight guy, I have only been to like 3 or 4 strip clubs in my entire life. But the first time I ever went was a drunken spending spree in a strip club where the goal of the night was to, because I had never been and I was going to get a divorce at the time, we ended up getting back together for a few more years, but the goal of the night was to go and see all the pussy you can see. And so we were going to hit all the Orlando strip clubs, and I was going with a veteran strip club attendee.
Aficionado.
And the goal was we were going to start here, and we would go here, 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 and here. Well, we started...
Work your way through the pussy.
Right.
Right.
And he...
GPS for
we
pussy.
We were started at 7 o'clock at night, and we were going to go until 2 a.m. Well, we get to the very first strip club, and I've got... And he was telling me... the guy's name was Flash. Yes.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Flash. Yeah.
That was my
pussy.
No, we know that type of character. In gay worlds, he's usually named Lance.
Yes. Yes, Flash was my tour guide through the land of stripping. And so he was telling me, and he goes, all right, you know, cash all your money in and get ones, and however much you bring in, leave 75% of it here in the truck. And I was like, I'm not going to have my money stolen. So I brought all $352 with me, and we made it into the first strip club.
And you were tipping them in quarters. Watching him shove a fucking roll of quarters down some lady's panties. She looks like she had a boner.
No, it comes out like a turd at the bottom.
Needless to say,
she's like, oh my gosh, she just shit herself.
We started at the bar, and he's like, you know, you don't go sit up front. You start here at the bar. Well, within 10 minutes of starting at the bar, I was now 3 tables closer to the stage, and by 20 minutes in, I was sitting at the stage, and I literally didn't leave all night, stayed till 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had exactly $1 bill left at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And a lot of happy hookers backstage.
And I couldn't get a single one of the last strippers to take my last dollar, so I could say I spent everything I had. $351 in a strip club in one night.
Well,
wow.
I would love to have the rest of the table ask him questions, but we've run out of time.
No, I've got a question.
Go ahead.
Because I have to say, when we talked about doing this show,
I have to say,
which, by the way, if you're listening, whenever anybody has to say, says I have to say, you have to do a shot. So.
Ooh.
Ooh,
it's
my
like
goodness.
You a toothpaste.
Or if you're Jay, then you have to. Whichever.
But there's nothing dirty going on.
What?
So this is the thing. I thought we were going to be asking some hardcore questions.
Sure,
so I've got one for you, Jay.
Okay. And I
mean this from my heart.
Please let it be about cats.
No, it's not about cats. Because I love you to death. I have, and I was thinking about this taking a before I took a shower. I was, I mean, when I was in the
watching,
no, I'm sorry. Actually, right after I masturbated, and then I was in the shower. I was thinking
about you.
I was thinking about you. I was, and I was thinking about what I was going to ask you. And I thought about this, and I thought, okay, everyone here knows, and we've talked about how wonderful you are. You're hot. You're sweet. You're so nice. You're smart. You know about music, and you don't know so much about movies and stuff, but that's okay. But you have all of these wonderful qualities. And I know a line of gay men fucking, what the fuck is wrong with you that I was listening to the show today when I was pulling sound bites, and I was like, you said in one of the shows that you've been single for 8 years and single and celibate.
No. Listen, for a year. This is why I suggested he has a size 14 senator's daughter putting lotion on her skin.
It's gotta be. What are you fucking doing?
What's wrong with?
What is wrong with you? Seriously.
Okay. One.
Are you an asshole when you? What do you do? What do you do?
No, I'm.
Do ejaculate tax.
Michael's into that.
Do you have like a gigantic penis?
A micro penis?
Or a micro penis? What is it? What is wrong with you?
I just smoked an entire cigarette and came back and realized we're still on J.
How dare you.
We're at the round table questions.
What would you say would contribute?
I would say I am extraordinarily picky, and I realized when I got into my relationship at such a young point in my life, and my ex-wife and I are friends. We are not enemies at all. We are friendly. We talk to each other, you know, several times a year. I realized I got into a relationship too soon with somebody who was not the personality type that best suits me.
Right.
I need a more empathetic, laid-back type of person.
So in other words, you're just picky as a motherfucker at this point.
May I please make a suggestion? Now, the only people around this consecrated crew, this round table, that are in committed monogamous relationships are me and Christine. Christine has been, it's 20 plus years. I'm closing in on year 5 with mine.
I hope my cat.
Now, the only advice that I could give you, even though it's not solicited, is if you want to have a long-lasting relationship, and I think Christine will back me up on this, you have got to lower your standards. You have got to just learn to take it as it comes and just go, yeah, it's this or I'm going to be lonely forever.
She's not way off there. Well, whatever it is, I hope you figure it the fuck out.
I haven't figured out the issue. Okay, the truth is that most of the women for whom I would be interested in a relationship with are highly intellectual, extraordinarily empathetic, and kind and compassionate people, and thus they have already found somebody. Mm. There's not a whole lot of them out there that are left that, and by the way, aren't saddled with, listen, I love kids, I love my brother's kids, I love little kids.
Don't be gross, that is illegal.
But I have no desire to be
a dad.
You don't want to be gay? Because, I mean, I'm there with you on all of those things.
The part I mentioned about my stepdad earlier, I call him my dad. Part I mentioned earlier is he's a saint. I treated that man like shit for a decade because at 9 years old, I'm like, you're not my dad. You're the same. You're just another one that's going to be gone in a couple of years, like the one before him and the one before him. And I treated that man like shit for 10 years. And I know that if some woman's bastard little child talked to me like that, I don't know that I wouldn't end up in jail.
I disagree with that entirely because I know you to be. You've worked with me for over a year now. I know you to be quite patient.
I am patient, but I'm of an age, I'm 46, and if I got into a relationship with somebody, I do not want to play second or third or fourth fiddle, depending on how many kids
she's
got.
Very good for you to say, no, that's
great. No, yes.
It's not fair to their kids, and it's not fair to me.
What about you guys? Do you have any questions for DJ Jay Skinner?
Actually, I have the same one. If you could go back in time, where would you go and why?
If I could go back in time...
Then I could turn back down.
You know what? I was thinking earlier about, you know, when talking about how I would describe myself, I have loved music from such an early age. Now, that probably does have something to do with genetics. My real father is a musician. Almost became a B-list musician, was so close, but we're not the go-get'em types.
They on the Shields and Taylor show or whatever the fuck.
Shields and Yarnell.
Shields and Yarnell.
Whatever.
Even I know that, and I'm not gay, so So I love music so much. It's just been a part of my life forever. And I thought, when you asked Michael that earlier, I thought about, you see, I would love to have been able to be somehow the sound guy, the sound technician, or something to do with...
On Madonna's Truth or Dare tour?
No, the Beatles.
His name was Keith, and I just watched it the other night.
No, the Beatles. Oh, I love music so much, and so my all-time favorite band is the Beatles.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's something about, you know, and they broke up the year I was born, so it's not exactly like I was raised on the Beatles being on, you know, pop radio or whatever all the time. But
fun fact: John Lennon, a dear friend, signed the divorce papers from the Beatles in Orlando, Florida.
Yay!
Really?
At the Polynesian Resort at Walt Disney World.
Oh my God, really?
You're welcome.
Also a fun fact.
That's this week with history. With
also a fun fact, producer Michael O. hates the Beatles.
I don't hate the Beatles.
Oh, come on.
No,
now?
No, no. No.
Now suddenly you're... No,
that's not true. No, no, no. I don't hate
no,
the Beatles.
No, when Janice Works brings up, you literally get a look in your eye like, I want our...
No, 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 no. I don't hate the Beatles.
Cunt.
I don't hate them. I love their older stuff, like their first, when they first came out.
Oh, yeah. They got a little wacky.
When they got into the psychedelic stuff, which I don't hate, I just didn't connect with that the same, but yeah, I love their old stuff.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's very. Yeah.
If you have not listened to Sgt. Pepper's coming down from a 12-hour acid and ecstasy fueled, trip. And
I have.
You don't do drugs, and you don't.
This was literally back in like 1991, and it was one of the very first experiences
when that album
I ever
came
had.
No,
that album came out in 1968.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen. This is fascinating.
Wow.
The story about Sgt. Bell Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. We've got to move on.
That is a friend of Ringo Starr.
Before we move on, though, I do want to say hello to Raymond. Raymond Wingard. It's good. It's so Wingard.
That has a lot of A's in it. That's why.
There's an extra A.
Is he
in the hospital.
Raymond, honey, I love you, and thanks for always being such great support for me. I'm sorry to hear that you're not doing too well.
But listening to us in the hospital.
But thank you for listening to us. Keep the nurses laughing as long as they don't mind the word cunt. All right. Well, do we take a break now?
No, we can
Let's
go.
Let's move straight on to the wonderful Christine Robinson.
Yay! Robinson! Yay. Robinson.
I say Robinson because I don't want to say God bless you, please.
Right, right.
Because everybody would say Robinson. And
Robinson.
Say, no, there's no N in the middle. Maybe.
Yeah.
That is, by Robinson. The way, that is no, that Robinson. Is how you introduced yourself to me was Robinson.
Yeah, I did. Life.
So, well, you know, that's, I feel like now I get, we all know her pretty well now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
so
she wouldn't shut
moving
up.
Right along.
Apparently.
Well, that's great. Let's
She's
go ahead and wrap this
up.
Talking
the whole fucking show.
What? So, Carol.
So, no, you know what? I'm going to skip you for just a second. No, I'm going to move on to Carol Lee.
No. Oh.
Let's just go ahead and get you out of the way. There's so much that our
listeners... I have been drinking since the beginning of the show.
Right.
So this is going to be another one of those moments
when Carolee embarrasses
No, you're
herself,
always then. Really good about getting to the point. So let's go through these. I think our listeners are excited to hear some of the answers because you always You always have the best answers. I'll give you credit where it's due, my darling.
I've had a long, interesting life, I have.
All right, well, let's just begin at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Who were your parents?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Jim and Deb.
Oh, okay. Where did you grow up?
Indiana.
Okay, what was that like?
It was hard.
Okay. So what was your favorite childhood memory?
Too many. I don't remember anything before the age of 14.
Do you have a least favorite vacation?
Yes.
What would you consider a pet peeve?
So many things. People.
So combative.
Favorite song?
I have one.
Okay, that's great. If you were a tree, how much do you hate Barbara Walters?
Oh, so much.
College?
Nope.
Favorite color?
Have one of those too.
What favorite song?
Well, I didn't know there was a B part of the first question. Pre-interview sucked. I do have a
That's
favorite
great.
Song.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carol Lee.
Carol Lee.
All right, so I'm
so
sorry.
Combative.
I'm sorry, I had to get that out of the way. It's I know this all seems a little wonky right now, but it is a method of interviewing that we recently learned from celebrity Jerry Lewis was being interviewed by some company that they were basically doing interviews of people over 90 who had been in the business, celebrities.
And were still working.
And were still working. And he treated the whole thing like it was some sort of, like it was an Auschwitz and somebody was asking, trying to find out.
Interrogation.
Like a fucking interrogation. And no, it's like a, no, not even that. It wasn't even that much passion. It was treated like a driving test. It was like, so what happens when you see this sign turn left? Anyway, back to Christine. Christine.
Yes.
Who were your parents, Christine? Tell us more about your parents, Mrs. Robinson.
Yes, they are, and they're both still around. They're 85 years old. My father's
That's
birthday
fantastic.
Is the 14th.
Of this month?
Yes.
So the 15th on, who is the 15th? Your mother's the 15th.
Whose mother's the 15th? It's Michael's.
My mother's.
Yeah, 15th. My dad is the, ooh.
Really?
They brought in the sister.
My father was the 23rd. He's also this month.
Wow.
Jesus
but he
Christine.
Died on the 18th. And we buried him on the 22nd, which makes the entire end of this month total garbage.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, let's go back
I'm
to
sorry.
Carol Lee.
I'm sorry.
Good Lord, Christine, this whole show has been about you. Your anniversary, your father's birthday.
Something I meant to ask both of you, actually, so, and I do want to ask you, what did your parents do for a living?
My father was always in the school system. He was a principal and was a teacher, and my mother
teaching
was...
Teaching what?
Everything. Anything from gym... to reading, to mathematics. He did everything.
General studies.
Yeah, and my mother, from the time she was 23, she was just a housewife. So she was from that era where she just was
Don't
a housewife.
Ever say just.
Just.
Before housewife. All I am is just
yeah.
a housewife.
She was a housewife from 23 years old and did not work at all. Didn't work, didn't drive. Just stayed at home with the kids.
Working.
She was a housewife. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she did.
Do you have a favorite childhood memory?
From the time I was 13, I got to work at a professional theater as an actor and got paid to work as a professional actor from the time I was 13. I went and nobody in my family was theatrical. The fact that my parents let me go and audition was amazing. They pretty much just didn't give a shit, and I just got out of the house. So I got to go and start working in a theater professionally from when I was 13, getting paid, and got to be in a group of people that were gay and gay-friendly, and I could kind of come out easily because there were really great people around me that I could do that with. So
not to
that
make this
weird.
All about me, but I was also in drama, too.
Oh, wow.
That makes you even gayer. No,
was it Pop Warner drama? Like you had to pay to be a part of it? Like they had to give you a speaking line?
You had to be one of the cats?
So you were like Model the Lunch Guy and Kid on the Roof?
What is your least favorite vacation?
Probably the first time I went to London in 1989 over New Year's Eve, because I went with someone that I had been in a relationship with and it just wasn't working from the time it started, and they wanted to go. So they paid for it and we went, and it was New Year's Eve and I didn't want to be there and I didn't want to be there with her, and we saw a couple of shows. Yeah, sorry.
Oh my God. This is the coming out episode.
Is she a lesbian?
No, we prefer to say wig puncher.
Wig puncher.
Mm. Wig.
Wait. I didn't say carpet muncher.
No.
Michael likes Zach Galifianakis. Is this a gay show?
Oh my God. Yeah.
This show is really gay.
I don't know how to break this to you, but really the level gay of faggotry is about to jump. show. Who is your biggest celebrity crush?
Mae West.
Oh, I knew
really?
That. Really? Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything that I'm going to say is going to come down probably to Mae West, because she...
You're a titty woman.
No, it's not even like I would want to have sex with her. I just think she's like the coolest person
in the world. No, it's like I don't want to have sex with her. I just want her to trade witty farm.
Would you have sex with her?
No, I would just want to be her best friend.
That is not a celebrity crush.
Okay.
Who do you want to lick?
Or have lick you, or whatever y'all do. Bump.
Okay, bump there's pussies. A couple of them, scissor. But you're gonna laugh at the scissor. One that I'm gonna say. Okay.
I bet I don't.
I bet you.
Hey, do. I'm into Zach Galifianakis, so how bad can it be? You're into Zach Galifianakis too, right?
One of them, and the first one that came up, Bebe Neuwirth.
No, I'm not laughing at that because here, what you all don't understand, listeners, is that. Physically, in so many ways, and also in mannerisms, acting-wise, in so many ways, Christine and Bebe Neuwirth are, to me, I've always considered pretty identical. Like, I literally think every time I see Bebe Neuwirth, I think of you immediately.
I'm actually having to look a picture of her because I don't know who that is. I'm not into theater.
From Cheers.
Lilith from Cheers.
Frasier.
This person?
Yes.
I don't know who that is.
You never watched Cheers?
I did, but I don't remember
her.
She was
Frasier's wife on Cheers.
Oh, really I didn't.
Try Bebe Neuwirth Cheers on your Google.
She would sit at the bar and she
was okay, all right. Well,
her. Do you not see Christine there?
I definitely see Christine. Oh my God, absolutely.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, I don't know who this person is.
It's a picture of Lilith. Yeah, it's completely. That's anyway, there's not just that. But when we've had this conversation before, you have impersonated her a couple of times where I've been like, holy fuck, this is bizarre. You're so on point.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what I would like our listeners to know also, though, is that you are an accredited actress. You've been doing this for...
Since I was 13.
Since you were 13. What are some of your highlights? What would you say are some of your highlights?
Oh, gosh. I've done so many things that have been highlights. So many different shows, you know, from Shakespearean plays.
Do you have a favorite show?
I have a part that I've always wanted to do that doesn't exist on the stage except in musical form. And that's Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I like the musical. It's okay.
But you would prefer to perform.
I only like her songs, and I could do that. But I don't like the rest of the show. And no. But if there was a straight play version of Sunset Boulevard, I would kill someone to play that role.
So maybe that's something we should get on for Fringe.
Oh gosh. Well, I would. And the thing is that it would be me. Doing Gloria Swanson doing Norma Desmond, because she is Norma Desmond. And the part of Norma Desmond, the little bit of trivia that I'm sure everybody knows, is that it was originally written for Mae West. They wrote that role for Mae West, and all of the things that you hear Norma Desmond say are things that actually happened to Mae West. When Norman Desmond said, I was the one, I say Paramount Studios. Paramount Studios was mine. I'm the one. Mae West saved Paramount Studios. Once again, going back to Mae West. So,
I had no idea, and you know, yeah. I love Mae West, but I mean, I'm not the file.
She would not do it. She would never admit that she was a has-been, or, you know, good God, take a look at Norma Breckenridge and Sex Pet. Although I hate Raquel Welch because she was really nasty.
She was such a bitch about Mae West.
Well, and if you watch the DVD, I don't know, probably now there's probably the same thing, extended version of Norma Breckenridge, Myra Breckenridge, and you hear the director's version, Raquel Welch is the one that's doing all of the talking under, and she says nasty things about Mae West. Look at those hands. Look at those. Do you think those hands would belong to a woman? There's no, I mean, she was just nasty, and I'm like, fuck you, bitch.
Well, tell us about college. Where did you go?
North Carolina School of the Arts.
I hate it.
What?
Who else went there? Randy Jones from The Village People.
Yes.
We had him on the show. We've had Mary Louise Parker.
Shut your pie hole. Did you have her on here?
No, we didn't have her on the show.
Oh, she went did, to the school. I know. Attend. She's another one that I would lick a lot of puss.
Tim Kinney, who you would know if you saw him. Missy Pyle.
Yes, love her.
Aunt Esther, you mentioned earlier.
I'm sorry, who?
Aunt Esther.
You mentioned
she didn't go to the School of the Arts.
Oh, because she was black.
Because, well, we had those bust in. It was the law. We also had Jada Pinkett. Mm-hmm. He's an alumni. But for dance, because she wasn't accepted to the School of Drama. Rightfully so. Tell me a little bit about your time at NCSA.
It was a little amount of time because I've told you this story before, haven't I? Yes. All right, so just for the listening audience, I got a full scholarship to North Carolina School of the Arts. While I was there, within the first few months of being there, I had this kind of affair with this older woman who was just lovely and kind and wonderful. And then I come to find out a few months after that it was the dean's wife. And so I kind of got expelled for sleeping with the dean's wife, and then it all went away, bye-bye. But I had already been working as a professional actor anyway, and so I got a chance to work with Gwen Burton, because her daughter was, she and Bob Fosse's daughter was there when I was there, and so I got to meet her and hang out with her.
You went to school at an interesting time at NCSA, mm-hmm. too, because it was fairly new at the time, right?
Yeah, probably 5-7 years.
For those of you who don't know, the North Carolina School of the Arts is a part of the University of North Carolina. It's a conservatory, so it's similar to like Tisch or SUNY Purchase or Carnegie Mellon, that sort of thing. So there's no minoring. It's high intense. You have trimesters where it's intense. It's a conservatory, so you have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked to ask you about being a dominatrix.
Oh, yeah. When I was 17.
Going on 18.
Yeah, exactly. Was the theater that I was working at, a really good friend of mine, her mother's friend, came up to me. It was during our summer break from high school, and she knew that I was gay and out, and that I had been working, you know, as an actor, and I was doing very well as an actor. And she also knew that I enjoyed spending time with older women, and she said, "Hey, how would you like to make some money over this summer going down to Fort Lauderdale?" I'm like, "What you talking about?" She said, "Well, what I want to do is send you down to Fort Lauderdale, and you're going to just spend some time with friends of mine and friends of friends. And here's the thing, you get to go out to dinner and meet them first, and if you get along and you want to spend time with them,
you get to spank them.
You get to do whatever. But if you don't want to, you don't have to." I mean, honestly, it was the best of both worlds. If you ever want to be a hoe, or in my case, there was a lot of dominatrix stuff happening too, because a lot of the women had shitload of money, and basically all they wanted was to have somebody be in control, not them, and somebody that and as an actor, it was really easy.
All right, just... on a scale between 1 and 50, how many shades of gray did you use?
Oh, God, about 150,000.
Atta girl. Atta girl.
And it was nice. I had an apartment on the beach that I didn't have to pay for. I drove a Porsche.
Well, there was your one chance, Fancy. Don't let me down.
Yeah, exactly. Watch that roach crawl
across the toe of my high heel shoe. Do you guys have any questions for our resident dominatrix?
Well, now that I know that story, yes.
Carry on, Virginia.
Oh, and look, I just saw that the volume went away. Y'all missed that. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know what they missed.
These women, like, did they want you to...
This is probably not a question.
No, this is not...
These women, like, why didn't these women just get married? You know,
most of them were married, and a lot of them...
And they wanted somebody else controlling their lives?
Yes, because most of them were in control of big businesses.
Oh.
I got paid a shitload of money to do this.
So these were not, like, housewives that...
Well, a couple of them were, because they had really rich husbands, and they were bored.
And they liked it.
They did. They just... You know what? And
this story is leaving a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, no. Then we're all clean.
Ooh.
No, a lot of them, you hear hookers and people, high-class call girls and things, talk about the fact that a lot of times you didn't even have sex. You didn't, really. Mm. Once you met someone, and there were times I said no. There were times that I met women and I was like, ooh, no, no, no.
God,
it was nice being able to have that choice. So, yeah.
Well, I apologize. I'm sorry. There's a straight man here, which I'm sure has lots of lesbianarian questions.
I didn't mean to steal focus. Yes, I did.
Again?
How dare you, sir.
Christine, have you ever had sex with a man?
Ow!
Why is that bad?
I don't know.
That's what you like.
Well.
Okay, quick. No, I have not. I've never had intercourse with a man.
You're a gold star gay is what you are.
You.
I did, the one time that I did go out with a guy, I was already out at the time, but I honestly thought at that time, and which is kind of stupid when I go back and think about it, God forbid I were to ever get raped, I don't want that to be the first time. Now, granted, I had already had dildos up my wazoo, so I'd already, there ain't no hiding going on.
And this was the first thought upon dating a man?
No, it wasn't dating.
Well, I'm
just
doing this in case I get raped.
Not dating, just having sex. So, and he was a friend, so it was like, okay, well, I like you, so let's just go do this and whatever.
So if you're going to rape me, at least we're friends.
If I were, it was my choice. But long story short, too late, I tried to put his penis in my mouth, and... I
Gross.
Had his penis in my hand, and I started just kind of going, I went,
of course.
Oh, no, would you put this in your mouth? Okay, well, neither am I. And so that was that.
See, and then I would have said, I have, put mine in my mouth.
Then I would have wanted to see it.
So you had his penis in your hand, it was fully erect.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, typical woman ignoring the balls.
Congratulations, you're already a step further than I've ever gotten.
Follow up.
Poor Ricardo.
I've never had an erect penis in my hand, not even my own.
Follow up question.
Yes.
Is wazoo a technical term?
Up the wazoo?
Yeah.
No, it's just an old...
It's an old lesbian term.
No, it's French for labia.
An old lesbian term.
No.
You always hear him going, come here, honey, and lick my wazoo.
It's code that you are now privy to.
And I'm going to have to look it up and see, where did wazoo come from? No, the word wazoo has been around forever.
Come tickle my wazoo.
And it's kind of a universal, like, up your wazoo, whether it be your asshole or her pussy.
Well, there you go. This is fascinating. I am a big round of applause for Christine.
Yay.
So, all right, I'm going to break from the pattern here for just a moment. I know we've already handled the interview with Carol Lee, but I'm going to go back because I feel like some of that wasn't in depth.
I don't know if I mentioned that I have been drinking since the beginning of the show. You cannot see my air quotes.
An hour and 44 minutes ago.
Okay.
All right, let's try again. This time we will not be doing this in Jerry Lewis style.
Okay, well, we're bleeping.
Nope, gotta get into the phone.
Forgive me, I'm farting.
Is that me?
Killed that child right there. With
Tell
that
me more about your parents.
That wasn't me.
Oh my goodness, well, my parents. They were lovely people, I guess.
What did they do for a living?
Oh my God, my mother was a probation officer, which meant that I certainly wasn't ever going to get in trouble or break a rule. And my father worked in the parts department of a GM, General Motors car dealership. And he ran that place he just retired 45 years.
Wow.
I would rather eat a live cat.
How old are your parents?
And I've made it this far without knowing one fucking thing about a car.
Carolee, yeah. We have so much in common. My father as well is the parts manager for a car dealership and has been in the business for 35 years. I too would rather eat a cat.
I can only get so erect, Jay Skinner.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a wonderful town called Fort Wayne, Indiana, which we used to call Fart Stain, Indiana. It is the third largest city in Indiana, which is, I mean, we all have got to be proud of something.
But there's only three cities in Indiana.
That is true. But, you know, it's something to put on your t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot like Disney World, but nobody smiles.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. least favorite vacation.
God, so many, weren't there? Oh my God, there was the time in the Poconos. There was the time... No, the worst vacations was every vacation. Because in Indiana, growing up a poor Negro child in Indiana, there was the wonderful Pokagon State Park, which was basically a campground that you could go... And I remember walking for at least 50 miles. And all of a sudden, there was this fenced-in area where there were bison, for fuck's sake. Bison. And you could feed them. What? Not that they were interested in being fed. They were basically just giant manatees walking around in this pen. Or you could walk the other way and go to what people in the Midwest refer to as the lake. Which is just basically a standing... amount of water mm-hmm. that people have decided is the closest thing they're going to get to a beach. Mm-hmm. And if you walked another direction, oh my God, I will never forget. We were always there in the summer. But there was a toboggan slide that you could climb up the steps, I don't know why, mm-hmm. and look out at Pokagon State Park, which was filled with campers. I'm sure a few tents, I would guess, but I will not. The reason I didn't like it was because there were snakes out there.
Uh-oh.
At all. So I rarely slept through those vacations. Thank you for bringing up that memory.
Do you have a pet peeve? Oh, wait. Do you have how much time do we have?
Go ahead. We can go over on this one a little.
No, this one's
we're fine.
How many pet peeves do you have?
How many pet peeves? Oh, God. Well, you know, contrary to popular belief, I am very easygoing. Mm-hmm. I'm friendly. Mm-hmm. I'm kind.
Yes.
Which I think is important.
Very giving.
I am a giver.
Oh,
thank
so
you.
Much.
Sometimes I run out of things to give. Mm-hmm. But... pet peeves. You know what? I'm just going to say pet peeves. I'm going to let you know. When I used to drive my own car, before I had the driver, people who drive in the left lane and just, fuck the world! I'm going 55 and that's how I drive and it's not hurting anybody. Get out of my fucking way. People who don't use a turn signal. Now, I don't mean the Chinese who you overuse theirs, but it is a pet peeve of mine. Not the Chinese, just the turn signal situations. I find that most of my high blood pressure comes from the excessive overdrinking, and other drivers.
Sometimes at the same time.
Do you have a favorite musical?
Oh, well, God, here's my favorite. My favorite is Hello, Dolly. Mm-hmm. However, because I was actually an understudy for the wonderful Carol Channing, the one time she... Oh, I don't have time to tell the story about the time she shit her microphones. But my favorite show is Hello, Dolly. I will travel to see a production of Hello, Dolly. Better if it's bad. Better, and I love to... I will go on YouTube, which is a website that shows videos, Jay Skinner.
Fascinating.
It is. Put away that fucking vinyl and watch something that people are actually interested in. You might know. But YouTube has videos of like high school productions of Hello, Dolly, which I love to watch. And then in the comments, I will critique as if I'm Frank Rich from the New York Times. Oh, hours of fun. Hours. But I think Gypsy is the greatest musical ever written. Yay!
But aren't you about to see Hello, Dolly?
With somebody that I'm not sure you're familiar with. It's a relatively new actress, Bette Midler.
It's Betty.
Doing it.
Betty Midler.
Is that how she pronounces it?
Midler.
Betty Mildew.
I'm interested to see that again. I mean, I cried when I saw Sally Struthers in it.
Because so wait, when are you seeing this?
May. May.
Do you know the date?
Yes.
When?
Like I want all of our listeners showing up at St. James Theater.
It's sold out.
May 17th, I think. It's a Wednesday night.
I'm seeing it May 6th.
Donna, you're seeing it May 6th? Fuck you! And the fucking Harmonia Gardens you wrote in on. God damn it.
I just found out last night when my performance of 9,000 TVs is on the 5th, and I was like, well, I'll see it on the 6th.
How did you get tickets? Well, I forgot. You're dear friends with Bennett.
No, I haven't gotten tickets yet.
Uh-oh.
I'm still in the process of that. I have holds up their Norman Lake now because most of it is sold out except for the ticket brokers who have scooped them up and sold them at twice the price.
They have to make a living too.
Right.
But
they're making America great again.
Once I saw that it was at the Schubert, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
There's not a bad seat in the house.
No, the St. James is where I did the show with Carol Channing when she shit her microphones.
Oh, excuse me.
But don't ask me to tell that story.
Tiny theater, where are you sitting?
Oh, we're on the aisle on the left side, and it is incidentally where I saw Gypsy with the wonderful Bernadette Peters.
Aww. Yeah, you sitting, but it's orchestra, right? You're not in the mezzanine?
No, yeah, we're on the floor.
Yeah, there's not a bad seat in the fucking house. No. The place is a matchbox, it's tiny.
Yeah,
I saw Chicago there.
Yeah, we were in, that's how Chorus Line ran so long. We were in row 5. When we saw Bernadette.
I love her.
And I will never forget, I was on the aisle, and I remember the show started as Gypsy does. Spoiler alert, the show starts and the girls are singing and Rose enters from the back. And it is the greatest overture ever written.
Oh.
I am going to snap a dog's neck.
Shut up!
She's agreeing with you. It's the greatest overture ever
loving
written.
You.
But... And what had happened was, you know how the show begins.
Girls
start singing, Rose enters from the back and screams, sing out, Louise. Well, it didn't happen the way I was used to hearing it happen on the original cast recording. So I turned around to see where the fuck is Rose. And by the time I turned around, Bernadette Peters, the wonderful, a dear friend, I didn't say anything. I didn't reach out and touch her and let her know I was there. But she... But it was, as soon as I turned around, she was standing right next to me, and she screamed those immortal words, sing out, Louise! And I had a little girl orgasm right there, next to Bernadette Peters. And I'm sure, if you brought that up to her today, she would tell the same story.
I feel confident. What time are we wrapping the show?
Jesus Christ, 20 minutes
around
ago.
9?
So I've got 6 minutes.
We can go over a little. Okay. No, because
rapid
fire. We can go over. It's okay.
I will keep it brief.
All right. What did you do the night that Whitney Houston died?
Well, probably like most nights, I masturbated until I fell asleep, and then the next morning woke up with my hand stuck to my belly.
Very good. How long after you feel full do you keep eating?
Oh, God. Well, again, until I fall asleep masturbating and wake up with my hand stuck to my belly.
Do you eat and masturbate at the same time?
How dare you, sir?
That is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life.
However, to quote my favorite musical, Hello, Dolly, if you're going to live hand-to-mouth, you better be ambidextrous.
That's right. That's
now, just a question for the expert. What would be the acceptable amount of time between eating and masturbating? Sort of like swimming and eating?
Because you don't want to get a cramp.
That's true.
Ow, my dick. You have to wait 30 minutes. Ow, I should have waited 30 minutes for masturbating.
That's true. There is cramping that comes into the situation.
All right. In the Harry Potter series, Harry Potter spent like 7 years terrorizing his friends with his own fucking problems. They have their own shit going on, and here comes Harry Potter. Just fucking shit up left and right. They had lives too. Do you agree that Harry Potter was a huge asshole?
It's funny you bring this up. My dear friend Daniel, who played Harry Potter.
Actually, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. Daniel?
Daniel Radcliffe. Radcliffe.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, Google him. That's what the kids do nowadays when they want to learn something. They certainly don't put a needle on fucking
You know
fire.
What? Add Equus to that.
Well, that is what I was going to bring up, because I did think he was an asshole until I saw him in Equus, and then he unleashed the fucking...
Magic wand.
Holy moly, goodness gracious.
He's got quite a... I saw it live. God. He's got quite a magic wand.
And very European, which means Superman is still wearing his cape.
Also a beautiful... Fucking, he was elite. I felt a little weird because he's young, but I mean, he wasn't that young. I wasn't like a priest or anything. But yeah, he was. I was sort of like, oh, hello. Harry.
Well, and admittedly, wait, the minute and you hear you're gonna be nude on stage, you start doing crunches while you're signing the contract.
Okay, wait. Can I ask the question I've been asking? I'd like to know if you would go back in time. What would you do and why?
Oh my goodness, isn't that an interesting question? I would love to go back in time and see the time that my grandmother bounced me on Judy Garland's knee. I would love... you horrible bitch.
Thank you.
I would love to go back in time and hug my grandma again.
Aww.
Really?
Just once to hear her voice again.
I like it.
Oh, let's
see
now
there
it's
you
a Barbara
go.
Walters interview.
Beautiful.
You've made me cry, you dreadful whore.
Yeah, you were very like you and I have talked about your grandmother. Yeah. You were super, super close. When did if you don't mind me asking, when did she pass?
No. Well, first of all, we don't say that and I don't know.
When did she
I don't know. Because I blocked that out. And literally have no idea when she left.
And you know what?
I never will.
A friend of mine said, don't say passed away, say died. No. You make it sound like they evaporated.
No, she left.
That's right.
So I will never know when that happened. I know, let me just drop anchor. God, I'm sorry.
That's been our show, ladies and gentlemen.
That is a perfect mixture of what this show is about.
Well, that's right. True.
Well, but you know what? There's me.
Well, we do have you.
So I'm going to race through this in a minute.
Okay.
Here's what you need to know about me. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Distinguished panel of judges. I am contestant number 5, the Divine Grace, for your consideration for Miss Gay US of A Unlimited FFI Continental Elite at Large. I was born in a little town called Frog Spit in the Great Smoky Mountains of North Kakalaki to a housewife and a grocery store owner. During a period of the 1900s in which people still used words such as grocery store. I was the last of 3 children, the eldest being my older brother Greg and twin A named Brad. I was named Chad. That's my slave name.
And it's Bradrick?
It's Bradford.
Bradford and Chadrick.
Chadrick. Thank you for putting all
the
information out there.
Well, and your social security number is?
The last 4 digits are. My faggotry developed at an alarmingly early age to such an extent that I can't even revisit home movies because even then I want to kick myself in the nuts and take my own lunch money. My junior high, which is old country speak for middle school, alternated between beatings and suicidal thoughts until I was whisked away for my senior year at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts that had a theatrical high school program. Divine Grace was pretty much constructed there, leading me to my first drag titles of prom and homecoming queen. I was later accepted into the college program with such illustrious luminaries as Elizabeth Van Meter, Missy Pyle, and that guy from all those commercials whose name you don't remember. As an actor, the majority of my craft over the year has been spent performing for thousands of people at a theatrical establishment such as the Olive Garden, TGI Fridays, Applebee's, and a privately owned cafe that turned out to be a drug front. Now, you know what? I'm being honest. Positions that I have held over the years outside of the theater include dishwasher, prep cook, baker, missionary, doggy, reverse cowgirl, and travel consultant. I moved to New York City on September 11th, 2002, adding insult to injury to an already heartbroken city. After 10 years of building my brand to a point that it was paying all of my bills, I met Michael Lowe, and his best friend Ricardo, and moved away from that to the hustle and bustle of the Big Apple to find employment at a sweatshop in Orlando, Florida, where I now reside and contemplate how to end my life. Any questions?
How did you meet Michael in New York?
I did meet Michael in New York.
We met Michael, on a cruise.
I met Michael's ex-boyfriend on Facebook. And after several years of this chatter...
So you were trolling for black guys?
No.
No, what?
After several years of Facebook... No, he brought one. Bill, his ex, said, why don't we get all these Facebook friends together, take a cruise? And we did. And they were all... We had a really fucking amazing time. Like, there were 10 of us. Everybody got along. Everybody got to know each other. And I fell in love with Michael and our friends there, and then came down for a visit and met my husband. Mm. And so I got drug away from everything that was positive.
Bipolar people are fun.
Yay! Before you get to know them. So that's my story.
Hmm. I have a question.
Please.
Before we go. Wait, does anyone else have a question?
No, I already know enough about this bitch.
All right.
True.
That's correct. Out of the, I don't know that if you even listed these, but out of the many bizarre things that have happened to you, and you have had some strange ones.
Right.
You've been kidnapped. You've been shot.
Uh-huh. Choked, flatlined on a handful of cashews.
Yes. You've almost died.
I've flatlined 4 times.
Out of all of those, which one was the worst situation for you?
Maybe the kidnapping.
Because I guess.
Because that's when I remember. I mean, I remember I was.
Let me reword that. Erase that. What was the most
fun?
The kidnapping.
Yeah, that's it. What was the most fun?
They were literally. Well, I'll just put it this way. It wasn't good or bad. It was just something that happened. They were all things that just happened.
Yeah, but these don't just happen to most people.
No. Well, but not to most people. But when the kidnapping was over and I'm sitting in prisoner scrubs in one of those rooms covered in two-way mirrors,
mm-hmm.
in Decatur, Georgia, and they hand me a stack of paper and say, you need to write down everything that happened, every detail. They shut the door, and I remember it was really cold because it was air conditioned. And I remember thinking, well, here's another one of those stories that I've got to tell. I wasn't like bitter or fucked up over it. I was like, fuck. Well, that's under the water under the bridge.
Do you think it fucked you up later? My question was really, I was trying to say, what do you think has most affected you?
The
kidnapping would probably.
The kidnapping sort of. But it wasn't the kidnapping that affected me negatively.
And do you think that's where you get your humor from?
The kidnapping wasn't the issue. It was how the general public reacted.
Where do you get your humor from?
The general public reacted to the kidnapping as if I deserved it because I was gay. And I wasn't even out of the closet.
Again. Wow.
That hurt. Because my assailants said, well, we beat him up because he was trying to pick us up like I was cruising for them. And I was like 16. I wasn't even out yet.
Wait, were they black?
They were black.
You were trying to pick them up.
No. I can still see their faces. I guarantee you would go,
work your time. No.
My humor comes from, I think, I'm nothing if not staircase whiz.
No, but where do you think it comes from in your experience? Because not everybody has that humor.
No, it's my mother, my father, my older brother, and my twin brother. Like, everyone in my family enjoyed a good laugh. And when everyone was getting along, everyone would go out of their way. It was like whoever could get everybody to laugh, it was always competition. And I still have, my family is still fucking hysterical. Yes.
I have one question. Please. Flatlined how many times? 4 times?
Yeah, I think
Did you ever see the light?
Never. Never had an experience.
Well, there you go. Well, see? Told you.
I never had an experience.
You weren't going to heaven if you died.
I remember intense heat. But
no white light, huh?
No, nothing. No, nothing. My mother said that after I was shot, when I was recuperating, that I kept murmuring in my unconsciousness about planes, about things flying. And then I mentioned something about my grandmother who had just passed. She just passed while I was in the hospital.
But you don't remember any of that.
I don't remember.
My closest experience of dying was in being in a car accident at 18. And I did float out the window. I told you that, I think, after I was in the hospital. It was very vivid. It was very clear. The whole bed floated up and floated right out the window. And it went through the window, went bloop, and went out the window, and I could feel the air. I was high on what's the drug?
Morphine.
Oh my god! Yeah.
No, all of mine. Like, I still remember when I was 2 and I choked. I remember that pretty vividly. And that was 2. When I was shot, I was 4. I remember that very vividly. Like, I can remember. There was no pain. I know that. I went right into shock. So I just remember sort of sliding down to my feet, and then it's just a series of images like being in the car and seeing the trees pass, because for the first time I'm lying in the car rather than sitting in it, or being on a gurney and seeing the lights overhead, that sort of thing. But for me, it was like all of those things were, I guess they were bad. Of course they were bad, but they were never, that's never how my family treated them. They were always sort of celebratory, like, yay, oh, we almost got him.
And you were 4 when you got shot?
I was 4. My older brother had found my father's army rifle that my mother had been begging, like, get it out of the house. And he was like, oh, it's unloaded. And Greg found it. I was a statistic.
Now, do you feel like if you as the good toddler had a gun?
I could have stopped it. I could have blown his head off.
You could have.
And saved myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's the next show. We're going to be talking about that next show.
Speaking of that, it's time we probably...
But, all right, so that's our Genesis show.
Yeah.
Get to know
Not us. That you're not going to get to know more about us in other shows.
But we were told people always go back to that first episode.
Yeah, found out more about us tonight than you probably ever will.
Yay! All right, well...
And stick around for the second show, those of you that are still listening, because we have Pat O'Rourke and Brian Pittard are going back with us, which they were with us several
months
ago.
Special guests and surprises next episode in just a couple minutes.
Yes. So, Jay, what's this last song we're going to hear at the end of the show?
Just a little throwback from Carol Lee's era, the 1970s. What is hip?
When she was what, in her 40s?
Carol Lee was in her late 30s. What is hip? Tower of Power, a little funk in your trunk.
Oh my God, I loved them.
So hang in there with us. We will be back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
After our blah. I'm,
oh my God. The
I'm
night
high.
The night I spent with them, I was airtight.
What? Wait. Keep talking for a second.
No, my goodness. One of them came from the back. The other one came from the front. And it was like a spit roast. People thought when they walked by our hotel room that we were having a pig roast. And yeah.